Well, if you've been here for a few weeks, you probably know by now that we're in a series that we've entitled Running with the Giants. And that series, what we're looking at is the giants of the faith that have already gone to heaven, and getting them to help us from their perspective, that have already run this race, help us in running our race that we'll run this race with perseverance. In doing so, we're also not only pulling from the grandstands of heaven and having them run a lap with us, but we're actually pulling from this, from the track itself, those that are running this race now. And that means that we're given an opportunity to connect with one another here at Crosspoint and just learn a little bit about one another. And so in doing so, we're taking this opportunity to introduce some people here at Crosspoint and our Crosspoint family. And so today we have with us Steve and Dawn Guptill. Come on. And I just want to say these guys are such a blessing here at Crosspoint. And no stranger, I know, to everyone, most everyone here. What a thrill it is to have them come and be a part of our family. And actually, I'm going to take part credit. We prayed them in here. I'm just saying. we're praying for help. And let me just kind of set this up this way. And that was that we heard by way of a phone call through one of our church family that they were checking out our church and wanted to come and visit us. And after that initial visit, Steve and I actually went to Panera Bread, sat down, connected, and to get to know one another. I heard he was a musician. Did y'all know he was a musician? Okay, there's a rumor that he's a musician. And so I thought, well, this is my music guy. Dwayne wasn't even here yet. And so I thought our conversation was going to talk about music. Well, we spent the whole conversation talking about discipleship and his love for souls, and one of the things that we were wanting to do around here was small groups. So we're so thankful. It was just a godsend. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead, so let me just back up and just say these guys have come down. Tell me where you guys moved from. We're getting people migrate here from one part of the region of the country.
Well, Don's actually from Indiana, and I'm from upstate New York. So I grew up watching the particular sports team. Which
we're filling the house with Yankees. That's what I, yeah.
What's my favorite sports team, Don? Do you know? That's 22 years.
If I want to, you know, be able to sleep in the bed tonight, I'll have to tell the truth and say the Yankees.
The Yankees. All right. My son's not here. He would give a shout out for the Yankees. He likes the Yankees. So, I know that there's been a lot of journey, and I know we're not going to be covered all, but I want to just sort of hit some of the highlights of you guys' journey and not just how you came to Crosspoint, but most importantly, how you came to Christ. And I don't know which one wants to start with that, but
I can start off. I grew up in upstate New York, and as you can see, I have I started playing guitar really early. Actually, I have a picture of myself in 1967 with my sister's acoustic guitar. That's 4 years old. So that's the first document. Gave my first concert in 1973. Played an Elton John song to my second grade class.
Yeah, there you go.
Trivia there. Crocodile Rock came out in 1972. So. But so that's pretty much basically what we did is that, you know, in my family, a good family and everything. My dad was a scientist. My mom worked in a family business. We ran the local municipality. They said, Steve, if you keep your grades up, you help us at the treatment plant, that kind of thing, you can pretty much do what you want after that. And I chose music. So that's pretty much dedicated all my formative years to learning how to play guitar. And by middle school, I was putting bands together. That kind of was my talent. I could get guys together and get them to sound good.
Yeah.
I wasn't the out front guy, but I did bust out a solo every once in a while. Sorry about that. I did bust out a solo today a little bit, but
we enjoyed that. Yeah, come on, give it up for that solo.
That's kind of that. By high school, actually, our band had really started. I was writing music. I had a recording studio in my house. I was recording, writing. I was kind of the music director. We were touring and stuff like that. So I had a record out and. You know, it was going real good, and that was pretty much it. So through college, and I just played, and that was my dream.
Right.
I was the youngest in the family. I was labeled the dreamer.
Okay.
Interesting how that worked. And that was what I wanted to do. So I kept, you know, my family obligations going, did my school, but played a lot.
Yes.
Played a lot.
Yes. And so it's interesting you say you're a dreamer. That kind of ties in with our character today. We're going to pull a rival character from the Bible, Joseph. He was a dreamer as well. And I know that when you guys moved down here, though, some of your dreams changed and things changed. And I want to give an opportunity for each of you to kind of talk about how things changed for you regarding how you came to Christ and how that came about. Dawn?
Okay, yeah. Well, Steve's family was all very much scientists and, you know, smart people. My mom, I'm from a single-parent household, and my mom moved us a lot. Every 2 years, I was in a new town, a new school. She was in a new relationship. She was always looking for something, married and divorced multiple times. So my upbringing was very unsettled. We tried Church of God. We tried Mormonism. Mm. We tried no church. There just was nothing. She was always looking for something and dragging us along. I have three siblings, two of which have followed in her footsteps, married and divorced four times. And, and then there came a time where she moved and I was old enough to say, I'm not going. And that left us in Indiana. And that's where I met this wonderful man here. Yeah, and we started seeing each other for a couple of years, and then Steve's job brought us here. So I'm just from a very wanderlust, lost, searching kind of, that was my childhood.
Right, right. So you came to Charlotte, and so the way you described it, as we were talking before service, Steve's family was a scientist, and y'all were the searchers,
right.
And scientists. You know, and both can be kind of searching for things, I guess. There, but so how did things change for you? I know you came here, and there was a big change that came. I know you spoke to me about how you had someone that tried to help you with that change, but went about it the wrong way.
Yeah, someone that Steve worked with actually took an interest in us. But they were really interested in the sin in our lives. You know, we were, as people who don't know Christ, we were living apart from Christ, and we were living a very worldly lifestyle.
Right.
And so they made it their mission to point that out to us, to show us what was wrong with our relationship and our life. And at that point, what they didn't do was try to introduce me to the Savior.
Right.
So I didn't want anything to do with them telling me what was wrong with our life, and so we chose to go on living life.
So rather than introducing the Savior to you, they introduced the sin. They addressed the sin instead of the Savior.
Right. When it's only when you come to Christ, Christ is the one who deals with the sin in your life. You know, we can try to point it out to you, but unless God is in there.
Yes.
Creating that desire to live a life that's pleasing to him, it's pointless.
That's right. So how was it then that you guys got introduced to the Savior?
Well, we moved down here, you know, up, it's a little different culture up north. You don't talk about church, you don't talk about your faith. Number one rule, I got a witness of that. So I get down here, now everybody wants to know where I go to church, what religion I am, this and that. I'm like, what is going on here? Don't they know the rules about this here?
Right.
So, and again, that particular individual who was working with Dawn and that kind of thing, I didn't really appreciate that, needless to say.
Right.
I actually said to Dawn during that phase, I said, if you want them and God, that's fine, but you're not going to have me. That's mutually exclusive. That was a little bit rough. That was kind of my mentality at the time, but God had other plans. See, my religious background, I guess Dawn had kind of, I don't think it was actually Church of God, because she got that name a little bit wrong, but I grew up, and I was confirmed, I was baptized as a baby and stuff. I was an altar boy, so I was the worst one ever. I never got on the schedule. I would always forget something. My heart was not into it, and I can remember just in my small town in upstate New York, I'd be actually on the stage, I'd help the priest do his thing, you know, and look out, and what I saw on Sunday morning, and then in my small town, what I saw the people the next day were not anything like they were. So it was, for me, it was an inconsistency. If you combine that with our kind of my scientific and my education background, I really had no interest in religion. You could call me a practical atheist for all sense and purposes. But so that was getting to be about 1993, and we were actually traveling with some friends who were Christians. Actually, they were born again Christians. Didn't know it. They were just nice people. They weren't over witnessing. They actually invited us to our first like evangelical church service, which is very similar to what we do here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we are. We're there. I'm like, ooh. It's a little bit different. So people were enjoying themselves. Pastor, you say
right.
Church ought to be fun.
There's
great music. As a musician, if I got into that service and the music was not good or something, I think that would have bothered me, actually.
Yeah.
That might have distracted me. So what we do here, actually, there's a lot of thought
there's
that goes
reason.
Into what we do here. You might say, well, why do we do this? But and there was testimony time. And it was the first time I actually probably saw somebody that it actually made a difference. Religion at the time made a difference to their lives. And I was like, it's very interesting. And then the pastor got up. And previously, there were several months before this, I was really had a experience that I knew, to make a long story short, I knew there was hopelessness in my spiritual life. I didn't know what it was. So the key for me was hopelessness, okay? So there was no hope. I knew I had no hope, and I actually didn't know what to do about it. So a couple of months before we got to that service, Dawn got home one Saturday night, and I said, we're going to church tomorrow. And she's like, we're doing what? Believe me, I would have been voted least likely in my workplace to go to church.
I was like, haven't we had this conversation already?
No. But this time we went. So I went back to the denomination I grew up in kind of thing, and it was exactly the same. I'm like, well, that didn't help too much. It took a couple more months, actually, to get in front of the gospel, and that's what happened. This couple invited us. It was a great service, great music. And that was the first time anyone actually presented the gospel to me. And I actually heard the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Wow.
And by God's grace and through faith, we connect to that free gift of God's grace.
Yes.
And if we do that, not only will we be forgiven of our sin. I knew I was there. You didn't have to tell me that.
Yes.
People actually, sinners know they're sinners, actually. We knew kind of what they were saying was actually technically right. We just didn't exactly.
We wanted to stay
we
that
didn't
way.
Actually right. like the way they went about saying that to us. So that's been a big lesson to us. And that resurrection actually proved that Jesus was who he said he was. And the pastor said just at the very end, he said, and with this, by faith, if you accept this free gift of grace, you'll have hope of eternal life. And
yes.
It was like, whoa.
Word in season, yes, to you.
Unbelievable. Yes. I grabbed on Sandy. He said, come on down. Anybody needs prayer? We looked at each other and I grabbed her hand. We ran. Got saved.
Praise God.
But if I had made that choice earlier to follow that couple that was trying to get me to change, we wouldn't have come to faith together.
Right.
Neither one of us would have come to faith because they weren't teaching the gospel. They didn't introduce me to Christ.
You would have religion but not salvation.
So God knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
And in his perfect time, we came together.
Yes, yes. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I know since then that everything's changed, right? I mean, everything. How has their life looked now compared to what it looked like before? I mean, and I say that in regard to, I know that Steve put it this way, that felt like he had to make up for lost time, and begin on a track that led him to what I believe your calling is, and I think both of your callings is that, but I know Dawn, hers is prayer. I know there's a big passion for prayer and intercession. Just speak to that, guys, however you like to.
Well, I'll give it mostly to you. But what I do want to say really changed was that place within us that nothing else can fill.
Yeah.
You know, my mom and my brother and my sister who kept looking and searching, and it was a new place, a new church, a new relationship. And then even when we were newly married, you know, we had the we were living the dream. We had the marriage. We had good jobs. We had just had our first son. Steve said he felt hopelessness. I just felt a hole, like there was something missing. We didn't have it. And I thought, is this all there is? I love my family.
Yes.
But there's a hole there. And so the biggest thing that's happened for me is that hole is filled.
Yes.
You
praise
know,
God. Praise God.
The hole is filled.
Amen. Amen.
And now I know why I'm here. I know why God did
God.
What he did in our lives.
Yes.
I know that I have a purpose.
Yes.
And
yes.
Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter who gets it doesn't matter the hardship. It doesn't matter what we're lacking. It doesn't matter when my kids go astray. It doesn't matter if we have financial problems. The only thing that matters is that Christ saved me, and he put me here for a reason, and that's to be his vessel, as broken and imperfect as it is, to serve him.
Amen. Oh, man. I can't. It's beautiful. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much. Steve, I know that you also, tell me about
yeah, for me, I guess something must have happened. Well, I got back to work. I was called in the boss's office that exact Friday, 1 week later, and said, what is going on with you? You were talking about God. You're nice. You're not tearing people up. I was kind of manager at that time. I thought, you know, getting ahead was putting other people down kind of thing. So I didn't know any better. I just shared the gospel with her. And so we had a conversation, and I did the best I could. I was 1 week in the Lord. I tried to win her to the Lord, and she didn't actually respond, so it wasn't the greatest beginning of my illustrious soul winning career. But just from that moment, it was like, from the moment of salvation, I said, this was kind of the calculation that would go through my head. Oh, I'm 30 years old, and I missed this for 30 years. That's a problem to me. So why did I miss it? Number one reason, nobody was telling me, and number two reason, my heart was not ready. So I don't know exactly the theology there, but right. I definitely wasn't being told it. So I promise, Lord, that's not going to, in our situation, we're gonna share the gospel where we can. So got in a good, the pastor said just three things, get in God's word, get in a Bible-believing church, and get in a small group. That's all he said, and that's what we've done from here on out. So
I know Steve has been very much involved since then. You've been very much involved in even going door to door and the gambit of just witnessing.
Pretty much got off to a pretty quick start. So when I think the reason probably why we are spiritually where we are today is because I've always had great mentors. I have really had five guys in the last 22 years that I've been able to talk to. I mean, because remember, at 30 years old, I mean, I'm starting from scratch and never cracked a Bible. There were a lot of late nights at the Waffle House. We would go out on visitation, win people to Christ, and then head to the Waffle House. We'd all meet at the Waffle House. Waffle House.
Yeah.
I hated the food. Still do. I like the fellowship. I don't like the food. But still, hours, just guys pouring into me. And I saw, eventually we got involved in small groups. And he taught me how to lead. He taught me how to teach. He taught me how to preach. Taught me how to win souls. Taught me how to share my faith. All this just nonstop. And it was outside of church time. I mean, realistically, it was pouring in. And it was through the small group context where that kind of happened. Yeah. So we've always, if you come to our small group training, you'll hear some more of my story. And now I'm pretty, needless to say, fired up about the small group.
And that led you not only just to get involved in that discipleship process, but it also even led you to go back and get your master's in Christian education emphasis on small groups, right?
Undergraduate, being a scientist, an undergraduate engineer and stuff, so... Yeah, in 2006, the Lord said, you're going to help somebody build a small group program, go back to school.
So you're working full-time, and then go back and get your master's.
At the time, we had I was working in two different church plans. We had three small groups. I was leading worship at two different – I mean, I couldn't keep track of what we were doing. Plus, I was in full-time graduate school. So it was a fruitful time, amazing. So 2010, I graduated. Ta-da! I'm here, and then crickets. It's like, I just spent all this money, all this time, and nobody wants to have me come build small groups for them. So we actually did have some, we did work with some, we actually got to meet designers through another church plan, but then you and that 2.5 hour conversation at Pan Hour Bed attempted to explain what we were doing here. I didn't know what you were talking about, but it was good enough to learn a little bit more. Pastor was excited. He doesn't explain things exactly.
Well, we had a phenomenal conversation because I think, like you said, you came out of school. It was kind of cricket, cricket, cricket. What do I do now? What do I do with this? And it was just so beautiful in our initial conversation with both you guys that it seems that when they came here, we had been praying, and you've been praying, where does this need to take place? We've been praying, it needs to happen here, but we don't have anybody to help us with this. And you guys walked in and just have really helped us be able to not only launch the small groups, but what really fuels all of this is the prayer. My wife had been really praying and interceding, and then God just puts another intercessor right in here that just help us lead that ministry, and which is key to everything we do. And so it's just what I've been amazed by is how God just answers prayer. He just really answers prayer, and he fulfills dreams, and he fulfills purpose. And one of the things we've said, and you said it so beautifully, Dawn, about how that many people, they say most people, 87% of people know why they were, they're here, but they don't know why. We don't know what our purpose is. And you said you didn't know your purpose, but now you have a purpose. You know why you're here. And I think it makes all the difference. And so God's changed your life. Mm-hmm. He's fulfilled you now. And now he's fulfilling his purpose through you to be able to reach out and make a difference in the lives of mm-hmm. others. And so I know is there anything else you guys want to add to that?
Well, maybe just by way of encouragement, actually today is my dad passed away 3 years ago, actually died in 1980. Yes. My dad was, I looked up to him, very smart guy. He was pretty successful. He actually developed lots of different chemical processes that helped the country out. He worked on unleaded gasoline and stuff like that. But when we came to faith, he was immediately antagonistic. And for the next 20 years, he was just, I almost dreaded, going there. And it was going to see the family. It was kind of like not a vacation. It was a spiritual boot camp almost. I mean, it was just rough. He was an atheist. He'd have all the evolution stuff waiting for me when I got up there. And, so we just started praying. And for 20 years, we prayed. Really, I had actually, in 20 years, I basically had 3 45-minute opportunities to share my full testimony, the 45-minute version, and the gospel. And that, there had been a 5-year gap, actually. So I got a call. It was right around this time of year, 3 years ago. He was in good health. He's 80 years old, but he's going down quick. Get up here. So flew into Hartford, got to the hotel room, hospital room there, and first day did not go well at all. In fact, I didn't get any time with him. He was very unresponsive. Lord, you got to help. I had on the other end of my not-so-smartphone, I had a text group of 18 guys who were praying for me. And the next day, Lord opened up a miracle. The day before he passed, actually, I had 45 minutes undisturbed in the cancer ward with him, shared the gospel. And he gloriously got saved right there. And that was actually 3 years ago today.
3 years ago today. 3 years ago today.
And so that's kind of the opportunity that we all have. I would say, by way of encouragement, there's hopeless situations. 20 years of prayer, of intercession, and just like that. He's Brother Frank now.
He came to Christ. He came to Christ. And that's a dream fulfilled right there in your life, to be able to win your own father to the Lord and come to Christ after 20 years.
Long journey.
Yes.
A lot of years, a lot of prayer.
Yes. Let's just take a moment. Father, thank you for the beautiful testimony of this beautiful couple. Thank you for their lives that have been changed by a personal relationship with you. And thank you for the relationships on this earth that help lead them to the relationship with you. Thank you for the value of caring for one another and pouring into one another that we've heard through this couple, and how they are pouring into other people. And thank you, God, because you always fulfill your dream, the dreams that you have for us in your time, if we'll allow you to do that. I thank you, God, for the salvation in the lives of Dawn and Steve, and I thank you for their precious family, and we thank you and give you praise for the opportunity they've had to share, especially this lifelong or this 20-year-long dream of Steve's father coming to Christ. God, we thank you that today you're encouraging those that are here that have had dreams that seem to be put on hold or seem to be unfulfilled. We thank you that you're the fulfiller of our dreams. And in your time, you make all things beautiful. God, we pray that you would do a beautiful thing in our midst today. May you be glorified in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Come on. All I can add to that is wow. I just thank God. Let's just thank him again for that powerful testimony and how beautiful it is to see how that God does take us through a journey And in the process of time, and sometimes that journey, it's not just a straight up the road journey. It's got many turns and twists and hills and valleys and rough places along the way, but God is able to bring us to a place of fulfillment and a place of beautiful place in our lives. And I just thank God for the ability we have today to share one another. And thank you all so much for sharing, Dawn and Steve. And I think it's worth us taking the time to do this and just to get to know one another and appreciate what God's doing. I've been standing up here for a long time saying, God's doing great things, y'all. Just trust me. Y'all don't hear all these things. Well, I want to make sure you hear these things. And I think it's worth us taking the time to do it. Let me just share very briefly some words to add to that. As we now turn and we take from the grandstands, from those that have gone before, and we pull another giant of the faith that has already run this race and let him run a lap with us. And today that giant is Joseph. We're pulling Joseph out of the grandstand. And we're going to look for just very briefly what Joseph would say to encourage us. And I think it goes along very well with what Dawn and Steve have shared this morning. First of all, let's look at our verse found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 that we're basing this series on. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so this is about a different perspective than our perspective as we look at this series, because, again, we're looking at those that have already run this race, and now they're looking at us running our race. And it's basically referring, this scripture is referring to the hall of faith found in the previous chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, mentioning all those giants of the faith that have run the race. Again, what would their perspective be? What would they say to us? And I just got to pause right here and just say, the perspective when we run this race is different than the perspective when we're running this race. It's different. And so, I just have to make mention of a couple people that have already run this race that have made it to heaven, and that is my in-laws, Dan and Ella Collins. I just got to find some place in here to say thank you so much. Ella's got a different perspective today. Those of you know, she passed away Thursday a week ago, and we had the funeral Monday and the graveside Tuesday. And I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for your continued prayers for our family. But our perspective is different than what my mother-in-law's is now, than Ella, than Kim's mother. It's just different. But when we're running this race, when you're in it, sometimes it's hard to see clearly. So this message is about helping us understand from a different perspective some words that would help us run this race with perseverance. We're going to look at Joseph for just a moment here this morning. And Joseph, really, his story takes up about half of the book of Genesis. We hear about Joseph a lot in Sunday school class with the flannel graph, and we learn about the coat of many colors. He was the 11th son of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham that we talked about last week. So there was Abraham, he had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Oftentimes you'll see the name Israel. It's the same person. Jacob, because he had an encounter with God, God changed his name to Israel. And so Jacob was the baby actually in the family at the time of this story. Eventually his father had 12 sons, but at this point he had 11 sons. And so he had this coat. He was kind of the baby of the family at this time, and his father gave him this coat of many colors that, you know, that really favored him. You know, you're not supposed to have favorites. Ella always said to Kim, you're my favorite daughter, but she was her only daughter. She'd say to her son, you're my favorite son, but he was her only. Well, he had 11 sons at this time, but he really did, I believe, favor his son. He had a special favor for Joseph. And so because of this, there was a massive sibling rivalry. And so we see that Joseph had this dream. He had this dream that he shared. He even had a follow-up dream that he shared. And it really, we're going to see that it took 23 plus years for his dream to be fulfilled. And during those 23 years, though, there was a drastic turn from what seemed like to be the fulfillment of that dream. There was many different things that he went through in his journey before that dream was fulfilled. And I just got to say this, that this message is dedicated to that person whose life is not going in the direction you think it's supposed to be going in. That your life is going in a different direction that you think God intended for your life to go in, that you had planned or that you feel like God had planned for you. And I just want to say, this is for the person who's ready to check out. This is for the person who emotionally or physically or spiritually or relationally, or maybe it's your job, your finances, but you're just ready to check out. You're just ready to give up. I just can't go anymore. I can't take it anymore. I just got to tell you, this message is for you, because this is a message about hope that Steve alluded to. And this message is to let you know that when life isn't turning out the way you planned, don't give up on your dreams. That's your first blank there if you got the message notes that you want to fill that in. Don't give up on your dreams. And really there's two topics that's found in this story of Joseph. One is that could be about dreams. We could talk about dreams. Another part of this is this message, and that is don't give up. And today I'm going to focus on that second part of this story, and that is just don't give up. A lot of people want to give up in life, and it's easy to give up. Can I tell you that even, I'm not standing up here pointing fingers, can I tell you that an astounding statistic even among pastors is that more than 90% of pastors surveyed said that they would quit pastoring if they could. That's not me, okay? I want to quit my other job and go full-time here. But most pastors surveyed would quit. That's astounding. That's incredible. And listen to this, more than 95% don't even have a close friend that they can talk to. And I'm thankful that those statistics don't apply to me. I've got people around me to support me and encourage me. But I want to tell you, there's moments, whether it be a pastor or whether it be anyone, there's moments where we feel like we cannot go on. And this story is about this. Look in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Let's take it up there. Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. Now notice, they hated him all the more. They already hated him. Okay, they were already jealous of him. This just fueled the fire, okay? So they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. And it says, we were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed to it. Now, this probably wasn't the wisest thing for Joseph to share this with his brothers. They already were, there was jealousy there. There was envy there. They were resentful of him. And yet he runs up in the midst of them and tells them this dream that you guys, basically symbolically, that I dreamt that you're going to bow down to me. And these brothers, boy, you're talking about lighting a fire. They were upset with him. And they were so upset, they were ready to kill him. The story continues we'll skip a few verses, and where it says, where they see him coming from down the road, and they say, here comes that dreamer. And here's what they did. They were so upset, they said to each other, come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams. I mean, that's pretty bad sibling rivalry. They were ready to kill him until one of the brothers stepped up and said, no, let's come up with a plan B there. Let's just sell him off. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had a sibling you wanted to sell off. Well, they had one. And I mean, they actually went through with it. But I got to tell you, that here then was Joseph, and he had this dream that was given to him. And now starts the journey where things go in an opposite direction for more than 23 years. And when things start to go in a direction where you feel like giving up, I just got to say, we're going to have some fun here today, but if this is serious, this is a serious and even a dangerous place that we can get to where we feel like we can give up. And so I want to encourage you today with some things. I'm going to give you four things very quickly that I believe will encourage you. And I believe if Joseph would come down and he would run this track with us, he would run this track and he would give us some advice. I believe this is what he would say. I believe he would say, don't give up on your dreams even if you didn't start off well. Even if you didn't start off well. Many of us are plagued by our resume, not our potential. You know, we're held to our past, and we define ourselves not by what we see, but what we see in the rearview mirror. We define ourselves that way. And I just want to tell you today that God forgives, and He cleanses, and He forgets. It's like the Etch-a-Sketch thing. You remember that thing? You draw those little things, and you shake it, and it was gone. That's the way it is with God. He forgives us, He cleanses us, and He remembers it against us no more as if it's never happened. But yet we have an accuser, the enemy, the devil, comes to remind us of these things and derail your potential and by reminding you of your beginnings. The Apostle Paul, he had a bad resume. He was in charge of the execution of prisoners. And yet he had an encounter with Jesus and ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament and was a church planter like no one else. The Apostle Paul, though, had a horrible resume, but yet he advises us in Philippians, look, I must forget the past and I must press on toward the mark. And in 1 Timothy, he says this, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who gives me strength, that he considered me faithful. I wasn't faithful, but he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And so I believe Joseph would say, don't give up even if you didn't start well. The second thing I believe Joseph would say to us don't give up even if those closest don't support you. For many people in this Christian walk we have, you get very tired and weary and worn and exhausted. And I believe one of the reasons for that, among many reasons, but oftentimes the reason is rejection. You just heard Pastor Steve talk about how that he, for 20 years, and he didn't tell all the details. I've heard some more of the story of how his father would absolutely berate him when he would go home about his faith and belittle him over it. And sometimes, though, in our walk, we become very, because of rejection, because people don't support you, don't believe in you, it becomes very, very wearisome. And can I just encourage you today to tell you that Jesus himself, even his own family, rejected him. And there were times they came up and said, look, he's not really the Messiah, just please excuse him, he's out of his mind, let's just take him home. And they rejected him. The Bible says he was rejected of his own, even in his own town. He was rejected. In Mark chapter 6, when he went to his own town, here's what some of the comments were. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? In other words, he's just a kid down the street. Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took, listen to this, they took offense. They were offended. They took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And because of it, we know that there in Nazareth, he could only do a few miracles. And so it's one thing to be hated, but look at this. Joseph was actually involved. Look, he was sold off into human trafficking, y'all, if you want to look at it that way. He was sold off into slavery. It's one thing to be hated, but it's another to be rejected by your own. And I believe Joseph would say, don't give up even if those closest don't support you. A third thing I believe he would say is, don't give up even if your journey is full of surprises. Now, we know that whenever you get a dream or a vision for God, it never goes from point A to point B. How many can say, that's right? That's right. It never goes from point A to B. It zigs and it zags, and oftentimes it goes in the opposite direction. But I want us to look at some things that happened in Joseph's journey. And let me just list some things for you, about 9 things here, 9 major events that happened in his life. First of all, he was misunderstood by his family. He was sold into slavery to Potiphar. He was living in a strange country far from home, given favor in Potiphar's house, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, put in charge of all prisoners, forgotten by the chief cupbearer, remained in prison 2 years longer, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and then became the second in command in Egypt. Now, let me just take a moment. I want to break that down very quickly here for you. I want to read that, go through that again. And I want you to give me a couple of responses. And that is, as I read these, you tell me whether in that place, at that time, his attitude would have been give up or go on. So I want you to just say it out. When I read this, is that a give up or is it a go on? What would you do? Okay, misunderstood by his family. Give up, right? Give up. Sold into slavery to Potiphar. Living in a strange country far from home. Given favor in Potiphar's house. That's a go on, right? Go on. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Thrown into prison. Put in charge of all the prisoners. Go on, all right. Forgotten by the chief cupbearer. Remained in prison 2 years longer. Interpreted Pharaoh's dream. became second in command in Egypt. But if you look at these events, here's what we discover. That if you look at the give-ups or the go-ons, there's twice as many give-ups as there is go-ons. Right? Twice as many. And here's what you got to ask yourself. What are you going to do in those give-up moments? And in life, there's going to be probably more give-up moments than there is go-on moments. I don't want to discourage you. I'm your friend. I'm here to help you, okay? I'm just saying. So what do we do? Joseph, what would he say to you? What would his advice be? I believe his advice would be, realize this, and that is that God is with you. That God is with you. In those moments, in the prison, in those places where he was, where all hope was gone, I believe he held on to the fact he knew God was with him. He had a relationship with God. I believe he held on to the fact that God gave him a dream and he believed God to fulfill it. You got to hold on to God. Amen, everybody? You got to hold on to God. Realize that God is with you and God's going to fulfill his purpose in your life. Romans 8 tells us this, and we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And really, here's the most powerful part of that whole verse, and that is those first three words, and we know. Just take those words, we know. And I got to ask the question, do you know? Do you know? And we've got to know that. And so when we're going through something, we have to know. We used to say it this way, you got to know down in your knower. You know, and we used to say it this way, I know that 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 I know. He's on the throne, and he's for me, and he hasn't left me now. He's never left me, and he never will leave me. We've got to get it in our knower. We've got to know, right? And so in those times, we've got to know, despite all the odds, despite what we feel like, it doesn't matter what we feel like, we've got to know. You got to know that God is at work, even when it doesn't feel like it. The fourth thing I believe Joseph would say to us is, and that is, don't give up, even if it takes a long time to realize it. Look, 23 years plus before it was realized, and then he had the opportunity to interpret the dream of the Pharaoh, and that he was elevated beyond the prison to a place of great power, and where he prophesied what was about to come with the famine for 7 years and how they were to store up for 7 years and that they were going to receive this grain and they were actually going to be able to have a good economy off of it because they were going to be able to sell it to other countries that were experiencing this famine. And all this came to pass and all this was fulfilled. And that was the fun part. But in the middle of it, it's you having to clean up slop from a prisoner, right? So in the middle of it, what do we do? Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says this, these things I plan won't happen right away. So what your plan does, it's not an instant happening. He says, it won't happen right away. And look at these three words, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. And here's what I believe happens in the process, and that is that God's more interested in your character than in your comfort because he loves you. Amen? And so I'm going to give some final words of encouragement that I believe Joseph would give to us. If he was about to go back up into the stands and he's going to pat us on the back and say, come on, keep running with perseverance. But let me just give you a couple of final words of encouragement. I believe this is what he would say. Number one, focus on what happens in you, not to you. Focus on what happens in you, not to you. And so since God is working character inside of us and God is using that thing that we're going through to facilitate that inside of us, then here's some advice I want to give you. Then you have a role in how fast that goes depending on how fast you can learn. Can I say that again? Because I believe that statement can change your life. Since God is working character inside of us, and God is using that thing that we're going through to facilitate that inside of us, then you and I have a role in how fast that goes depending on how fast we can learn. So a lot of times our prayer is, God, just make it go away. Right? Just get me out of here into another place. Just move me on. But here's what we need to pray. But rather we need to pray, God, what do you want me to learn in this thing? And if we can learn it, I believe we begin to move on and begin to grow in the things of God. Amen? This is not in your notes, but in 1 Peter, we find these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, so be truly glad. this is wonderful. There is wonderful joy ahead. Not necessarily today, but it's ahead. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Amen. Let me give you one that's in your notes. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy. Now, that's our first reaction, isn't it, when we're going through something? I'm so joyous. But look, the Bible says consider it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And that's what we're talking about as we run this race. How do we run this race with perseverance? Second thing I believe that Joseph would say to us, and that is, your response to offense determines your future. Your response to offense determines your future. You see, Joseph, at the end of the day, he was standing there in all of this Egyptian attire, and his brothers show up because there's a famine in the land, and they appear before Joseph, and they don't recognize him because of his attire, but he recognized them. He had the opportunity to get them back. He had the opportunity to take them out with one word. He was in charge. And when they finally realized who he was, their response was, don't kill us, have mercy on us. And Joseph, what was his response? What was his response? I want to tell you, a lot of people get derailed by the offense of others. And I want to encourage you, travel light. Listen, what we've been saying lately, life is short. Life is so short. And so, it's a travel light, because here's the thing, as you're on this journey, resentment will destroy your dream. Resentment will keep you from and derail you from God fulfilling in your life what he wants to fulfill. And so Joseph's response was this in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me. I don't have it right in my notes. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. Amen. So what he said is, it's okay. It's okay. And so understand that resentment will destroy your dream. The third thing I believe that he would have you know, and that is this, that every dream has tough times, but remember, God is always with you. Even though you don't feel it, you trust him. Even when you feel like God's a million miles away, you trust him that he is with you. Psalm 139 says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You fast. I want you just to, as Dwayne comes, I want to give you some encouraging verses. I don't have them up on the screen. I just want you to receive these. I just wanted to be still for just a moment and just focus on, I believe, what God's Word would say to encourage us today. Psalm 46 and 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And Isaiah 43 says this, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Listen to this. Somebody just receive this in your spirit. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. Get this. This is for somebody today. Receive this. Receive this. I believe God just wants you to take a moment right here to encounter his presence. As he speaks these words to you, I believe this is for you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. Jeremiah 1 and 8 says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 1:19 says, for I am with you and will rescue you. Jesus himself says, surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, thank you for words of encouragement from your word. Today I pray for those that have dreams that seem to be unfulfilled, or even a life that seems to be derailed and going in an entirely different direction. In fact, there may be somebody here that's just, their life is just completely out of control and it makes no sense. And it feels like they're just going around in circles with no purpose, no meaning. God, I pray right now for a spirit of encouragement to come, and I pray for the spirit of hope to fill this house. That we would know that because Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came and paid the price for our sins, there is hope and there's a purpose, and you've redeemed us to that today. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much that when you died on that cross, you paid for all of our sins, and all of our sins, as we come to you by faith, God, is taken care of, and it exists no more. And that's the power of your blood. God, I pray, God, that the power of your blood would bring forgiveness of sin today and bring healing of mind and healing of spirit in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. And let me just give an opportunity today. Maybe you're here, you've heard the testimony, you've heard the word of the Lord, you've heard that there can be hope, and you need some today. I want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you're here and you just know that you really have not given God full control of your life, and today you need His direction in your life. You need to follow not your own dream, but the dream that God has for your life, which is so much better. Today I want to give an opportunity. You're here today and you say, I just need to commit my life to Christ. Maybe it's the first time, or maybe you're coming back to Christ. Either way, I want to just lead you in a prayer. I just want to help you with some of the words. It's not my prayer, it's your prayer. I just want to help guide you through it. If that's you today, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but I just want to lead you in that prayer. If that's you, would you boldly, my heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, would you just simply raise a hand and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, just count me in. God bless you today. Anyone else, just slip up a hand and slip it right back down. I just want to pray with you. I want to just pray with you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's pray this prayer. Father, thank you for what you're doing right now. Come on, just say these words. Those that need to pray this prayer, just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life and I invite you in. I pray today that you would give me hope. And I pray that you would give me a future. Today, I pray that you would give me a purpose. Forgive me of my past. Heal me of my past. And cleanse me of my past. Today, I believe on you. And today, I begin anew. God, I give you my heart. And as you enable me, I'm going to follow you with all of my heart, all the days of my life. I give you my life, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And today I receive hope. Today I receive peace. Today I receive purpose. In Jesus' name.